Right. The talk I'm going to do this morning is called The Cross Behind the Crib. Okay? So, would you just say that? The Cross Behind the Crib. You'll see why in a minute. Okay? And then you can say it again later with a bit more enthusiasm. All right? Okay. Tony. Right. Tony and Laura. I mean, they played it down there, let me tell you that. They really, really played it down. These guys have changed laws and government stuff, haven't you? Yeah. They've made a massive difference to things. And I hope it doesn't sound rude, but they've grown in wisdom, and over the years when they've come back, you know, just the way they are, it's terrific. It's really great. And they've always been really inspiring. But, you know, the thing is, Elaine and I do quote from you. You have made a real change in our lives. Particularly, there is a word that Tony gave us, and that it comes out now and again, okay? And it's this. If you have a really big dinner and you're full up, it's okay, because you've got a separate stomach for dessert. That has changed our lives, Tony. We often quote you on that, okay? So of all the things that Tony and Laura have done, the thing that we remember most is that we have an extra stomach for dessert. Do you know what? We sometimes miss the point, don't we? We sometimes see the small thing instead of the big picture. The cross behind the crib. You see, once there was this party going on. It was like a celebration. And it was noisy and people were talking about things. It was all blokes. So they were probably talking about football or stuff like that, or doing a man cave or something like that. And in the middle of all this hubbub and noise and everyone laughing and telling jokes and stuff like that, a man got up. He stands up and everything goes quiet. It goes really quiet. And the guy goes and he picks up some bread that's on the table. And he breaks it. And he goes over and he says, take, eat that. That's my body broken for you. That's my body broken for you. He was probably as surprised as you were. They were. Those guys probably were. They probably thought, what? What's this about? Because we kind of do it sometimes, don't we? And it's like, oh yeah. They probably thought, what's this about? Broken? Your body? But then what he does, he gets some wine. There's some wine on the table.
You're panicking, aren't you?
Just like to put you on the edge there, okay? But he pours out this wine. And he says, this is my blood that's shed for you. That's what he says. This is my blood that's shed for you. He said, drink it. Because that's my blood shed for you. Remember this. Remember my body and my blood shed for you. This is in the traditional church, this is the first Sunday in Advent. Advent means coming. The idea is that you prepare for the birth of Jesus, his coming. And it's the third day of Advent in the traditional calendar. Who here has opened up a little day 3 Anyone got one of those? Yeah, advent calendars. Yeah, that's it. Ola, I wonder if you'd put up the advent calendar. There you go. That's, have you looked in the shops at all the advent calendars? Do you know, for every bit of popular culture, whether it's Harry Potter, whether it's Marvel Comics, whether it's Mr. Men and Little Miss, there's an advent calendar. Remember my body, remember my blood. All those advent calendars, look at that. Not knock it, you know, okay. But where's Jesus? Do you know what? We went to Kingston. I know, it's kind of, you know, getting out of Rose Hill. We went to Kingston. Not only did we go to Kingston, I just want to say we went to John Lewis. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we are class. You know, we went to John Lewis. And in John Lewis, they have got these advent calendars, like they've got posh cheese advent calendars. Like, you kind of different cheeses. Oh, and I was going to say the tea ones. Man alive, all these posh teas that you get each day. You know, they've got the whole whack there. You can do, like, wine tasting ones. But Elaine wouldn't let me have one of those. But, you know, it is, I know we have advent calendars that have Jesus in them as well. I know that. But isn't it amazing how the world has forgotten who should be in the center of this season? We have a thing at home that says, it's a little thing we put on our front door, you know, to look kind of Christmassy. And it says, Jesus is the reason for the season. Remember my body. Remember my blood. It's the cross behind the crib. See, the birth of Jesus is really important. Really important. It was prophesied by Isaiah. Isaiah said, unto us a son is born. And a whole lot else followed after that. But, you know, we'll hear about that in coming weeks. So it was prophesied. It was something people were waiting for. And John said in his gospel, he said, the Word, that's Jesus, became a human being and lived among us. Really important that Jesus came. But you know what? Jesus didn't come to stay in a manger. And he didn't come to be kind of frozen in time on the front of a Christmas card with Mary always looking a bit like a nun and Joseph looking even older than Tony usually, okay? You know, we forget that there was the cross behind the crib. Remember my body. Remember the blood that I'm going to shed for you. Can you say it with me? The cross behind the crib. Because if you don't remember anything about my talk, just remember that. Just hang on to that. Because that only came to me, weirdly enough, this morning. It's like God saying, Bob, give them something to remember that there is a cross behind the crib. So that as you come up to Christmas and you see all that Christmas stuff that we talked about, which is so much fun, and I think we can take the Mr. Men down now, Ola, thanks. Great. This is making me feel very small. Yeah. But you know, in the context of not trying to give a slick, polished talk to make himself a popular preacher, Paul said this. He said, I decided to know nothing among you, that's the Corinthians, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, Paul was having a bit of a problem because there were these really good preachers. You know, I was in awe when David Ganassaram, and I can't even say his name properly, came to preach because he was so amazing, so strong, such a, you know, such a whiz. And then I I kind of thought, wow, what about that? And Paul had this guy called Apollos and some other people, and all the people in Corinth were saying, you know, he's not much of a, you know, he's not as good. You know, we prefer listening to these other guys. And what Paul said was, listen, I didn't come among you to say the stuff you wanted to hear. I've come here to tell you about Jesus Christ and him crucified, the cross behind the crib. See, the whole point of Jesus coming was to die on the cross, be raised again, so that when we put our faith in him, we can have a relationship with God and become people of his eternal kingdom. When Jesus first started talking about that, that wasn't popular with his disciples. See, his disciples, they'd be chatting about Jesus to each other. I'm sure they were. I mean, I would be. God, did you see what he did with that fish and that bread? That's amazing. Hey, he walked on water. Hey, did you, when that storm was going, he stopped it. All he said was, you know, be still. And it stopped. It's incredible. And that teaching, like, oh, the way you put those Pharisees in their place, that was amazing. Yeah, go for it. You know, they must have talked about all sorts of things. And then Peter looks and he says, oh, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And then Jesus starts saying stuff they're not so keen on. See, let me just say, I've got Advent. Although I don't always follow the kind of traditional Christian calendar, I've got this book. I read it every December. It's called The Perfect Gift. It's all based on the Christmas story. Okay, so I read it. It's all kind of Christmas story stuff, and it's great. It prepares me. But this year, I found out that one of my favorite speakers and teachers and theologians, a guy called Tom Wright, he had an Advent book. I didn't know about this, so I thought, I'll get that Advent book. And when I got it, I just want to say I got it on, you know, it's on my iPad, just saying that, you know, because I'm like modern now. Anyway, I got it on that, and then I started looking at it. And it didn't start with a Christmas story. It starts talking about the second coming, and then it's all about Matthew and the whole life of Jesus and all this sort of stuff. I'm thinking, no, I wanted the Christmas story. You know, I like the Christmas story. It's nice, isn't it? And so I've started reading this again, but I am reading the other one as well. I am reading the other one as well, because we get in a kind of Christmas story bubble if we're not careful, and we forget the cross behind the crib. And yeah, it wasn't soon as Jesus started talking about, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. He's this specific. So I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be pushed about. They're going to beat me. They're going to put me on a cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to come back to life again. They don't like it. Peter tries to stop him first of all. But they really don't like it. And they kind of ignore it. So that when Jesus does this, it's kind of, they still don't really get it. They don't understand. And so when he gets arrested, of course, they all run for it, don't they? They're not around. But it's brilliant that Peter's first sermon after Jesus has risen again, Jesus has gone back to be with God, sit at God's right hand. And this is Peter's first sermon. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. The first thing, once Peter's explained what's happened at Pentecost, because they all started speaking in different languages, and he explains to them, we're not drunk, this is what it's about. And he says, and I like this, it says, your young men will, this is when he's explaining, by the way, I forgot about this, because it comes in with what you said, so I think God's speaking to you, okay? Because when he's explaining what's happened at Pentecost, he says this, and this is aside from my talk, by the way, it says, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Obviously, I'm going to see visions. I'm just saying. Yeah. But afterwards, after he's explained what's happened, what all that speaking in tongues was about, then he puts Jesus and Jesus's death, his crucifixion, and his rising again. That's the basis of his first talk. Then his second talk that we have recorded, this is after he's healed a lame man, okay? And he explains first of all what's happened, because everyone's saying, whoa, what's all this about? And then he says this, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. Jesus at the center. Paul, the first thing Paul starts talking about first is that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus is the Son of God, and he's talking to the Jewish people. That's just after he's been just come to know Jesus. But his first recorded talk is this. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they'd carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. Do you know what? It's pretty obvious what needs to be at the center of our lives, isn't it? Jesus and him crucified, the cross behind the crib. Do you know, the most important thing is not what we do, but what Jesus has already done, okay? Everything comes from that. Everything we do should have that as our motivation. Those songs we sang this morning, all right, I did choose one of them. Thank you for the cross, Lord. I chose that one because I wanted that message to come through. All the other songs that came up, we were really worshipping, and that's what we're worshipping, isn't it? We're worshipping that our Jesus left heaven, came down, lived that perfect life, and then, knowing what was going to happen, knowing how much he would suffer for us, because he loves each one of us, went to the cross. But before that, he was mocked and pushed around and shoved. That was the future for that little baby that was in the manger. Amazing, isn't it? Do you know, quite a lot of parents here. You know, you have hopes for your children, don't you? You hope that everything's going to go well for them. And yet Jesus was born to die on that cross. It's amazing, isn't it? I didn't want to say this because I thought it was a really shocking thing. But I'm quoting something that I know it might sound horrible, but I just think sometimes we need to be shaken up, don't we? You know, Beatrix Potter. Yeah, Beatrix Potter. Jeremy Fisher, Peter Rabbit, and all the rest of it. She had a farm up in the Lake District. Hilltop Farm. It sounds really nice, doesn't it? This is what she said. She said, every lamb, because people were saying, oh, it's cute, it's lovely lambs. That's what she said. Don't forget, Jesus is the Lamb of God. She said, every lamb is born to have its throat cut. Every lamb is born to end up in the slaughterhouse. It's terrible, isn't it? Sorry I said that, but that's the truth. That's the cross behind the crib. That's what Jesus has done for us. Don't we owe him a bit? I think so. We work out what he puts in and what he's put in his life, his whole life for us. Remember my body. Remember my blood. We said again, we sang, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is part of it, isn't it? This is what we want to be part of. This is what it cost for Jesus' kingdom to come and be inaugurated, to be started off. Jesus not only acted out seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he not only acted it out in his own life, it was through his death and resurrection that his kingdom has been opened to us. And this bit about his kingdom coming, your will be done, it's been said several times over the last few weeks. You know, even at the prayer and spirit thing, I never get the title right. Sorry about that, Jamie. You know, Judy read a bit of it in the Passion version. I'm sure it's something really important for us at the moment about the kingdom of God. So let's put Jesus first in our thinking. It will influence and encourage our game-changing prayers. Because if he's at the center of our game-changing prayers, and we remember just what he's done for us, the cross behind the crib, it'll guide the way we think. It'll lead us where he wants us to go. It's interesting, I hope Tony and Laura don't mind me saying, I knew Tony and Laura before they went away, and it's amazing, really, because he laid a floor for us in our front room and hallway. You know, he's really good at that sort of stuff. And they go away, and they have an idea in their heads about what they are going to do, because they think it's going to work out maybe that way. And God didn't do it that way, did he? So you thought that you would have some children in your house, but in fact, you've put children in hundreds of other houses, because God had a plan for you two that was bigger than the one you had. So when you put his kingdom first, he does something incredible. I'm going to finish with this little story, right? It's a story about Sir Christopher Wren. Sir Christopher Wren is the man who designed and oversaw the building of St. Paul's Cathedral. And the story is that one day he went to check up on what was happening. Now, the guys there didn't recognize him, because you have to bear in mind, there's no TV. It doesn't matter how famous you are. No one's seen a photograph of you or anything like that. You know, so no one have a clue who you were. So Christopher Wren goes down. He meets up with a man, and he says, well, what are you doing? And the man says, I'm cutting this stone to exactly the right size so it will fit in the wall. That's what I'm doing. So that's good. Well done. Walks, he sees a couple of other people, gives similar answers. Goes to another man, he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm earning my living. I'm asked to do all sorts of things, and I just do it, you know, and it's just what I do. you know, I get little odd jobs to do. So, okay. Then he goes to another man. He says, what are you doing? And he says, I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren build St. Paul's Cathedral. Okay? I like to say that I'm helping Jesus build his kingdom. I might only do a bit of this and a bit of that and do a little talk from now and again. But who's going to join me in helping Jesus build his kingdom? Because that's what we're here for. The cross behind the crib tells us why we want to help Jesus build his kingdom. You with me on that?
Yes.
That's cool. Let's say it again, just one last time. The cross behind the crib. Father God, I thank you for everybody here this morning. I love them to bits. And I just pray that you will work in their hearts. Glorify yourself in them. Father God, help us all to see your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it in heaven. And help us over this whole season to remember who you are and what you've done for us. And help us to love you more and more every day. In Jesus' name, amen.